I'm going to start off here tonight with the laws of thermodynamics. Anybody familiar? I'm not really either. I had to study up on it. But it is something that I had heard once before, and as I was preparing for teaching, I'm like, boy, this is right up the alley of this for where I'm going with the teaching. Okay? Law of thermodynamics. Thermo obviously meaning heat or transfer, energy transfer. The second law of thermodynamics states that in all energy exchanges, if no energy enters or leaves the system, the potential energy of the state will always be less than in the initial state. This is also commonly referred to as entropy. Okay? Everybody with me? Okay, what that means is this. If no energy is exerted, okay, that it will break down. Things will deteriorate. Okay? This is one of the big things that a lot of people who do evolution versus creation, this is one of the big problems, because the second law of thermodynamics says things left alone don't improve. They decrease. Okay? And you can see it because species, we've had a handful of species die in human existence. And yet we should be having hundreds upon thousands coming in, new creatures that have been transforming for a long time. There's not a single transitional animal out there or creature. There's not one. Okay? And so this is a problem with it too. The law of thermodynamics says that things left alone don't increase. So if I leave a car in a desert for a while, I'm going to show you a picture of one. When I come back, it's not better off than when I left it. If I leave my yard over the summer and I come back, it doesn't look like it did when I left. Okay? That's the whole principle of this. Okay? It's the potential energy of the state will always be less is the entropy. So here's the definition or what entropy is. It's a measure of disorder. The flow of energy maintains order of life. Okay. Again, if I took a tire, if I bought a brand new set of tires and I put them in my garage and 100 years later I came and put them on my car, they'd never seen sunlight, they'd never been outside in weather, are they going to be any good?
No.
No. They've never been used though. So how can that be? Why aren't they at least in the same state? It's because they break down, the disorder. That's exactly what that is. That's the entropy. Flow of energy maintains order in life. Okay. As you see this, you can kind of guess where I'm going to be going with all this. A watch spring-driven watch will run until the potential energy the spring is converted, and not again until energy is reapplied to the spring. So the energy is built up into it. And when that is expired, it's done, unless you put more energy into it. In other words, you have solar watches now that you don't have to do anything for, but it is getting energy from the sun. My watch is one of those. They also have the ones that, you know, if you shake, they're winding as they're movement. It is energy being put back into it. That's what this is. That's what we're referring to. If something runs out of the energy, it stops. A disorder starts to take place. Hey, this all came from this college here, too, that I found this resource on here. The other one here, in the continuation, second law of thermodynamics, which is accepted as one of the basic laws of physics, holds that under normal conditions, all systems left on their own tend to become disordered, dispersed, and corrupt in their direct relation to the amount of time that passes. Okay? And so as you see, where I'm going with this teaching tonight is to build up the energy, to build that back up. As things sit idle, things start to break down, okay? And so this is everything within our life. You know, every one of us has taken physics at some point, okay? If somebody put in front of me a ninth grade physics test, I would bomb it, okay? But I took it in high school. I took it in high school. So what's happened? I haven't applied it. How have I applied any of that information? That goes for algebra. I won't run all down the list, but it goes with almost all of them because I'm not applying them. Therefore, you know, even simple math things outside of arithmetic, you know, division, multiplication, addition, subtraction, what the heck? Okay, get a calculator and go and look it up on the internet. I don't know how to do it. Okay? Same thing. So for us, we are created for good works, to be ready to do those works. Okay, and so the one thing when you see this with the transfer of energy, it's no different this blew me away when I was in physics. The lab instructor lit up something and he burned it. And then he asked everybody, he says, you can see how much it weighed before. And then he looked at it and he says, okay, now if I weigh this right now, it's going to weigh less. Well, obviously it's going to weigh less. And he goes, what if I gathered all the energy that came off of it, all the smoke, all the heat, everything else? We're all like going, it'd be less. And he goes, it's not. It's the same. It's a transfer. It's a transfer. Same thing with the pond that dries up. The water has just been transferred. Okay? Yahweh's transferred through Christ the power for us to do Christ's work. Okay? So we are to be ready to do the good works. When we look at ourselves, that's the biggest dilemma that I come across as I go through this, is being ready. Being ready for what? Okay, if I get called on to do something major right now, am I ready for it? And that's the whole question that each person has to ask themselves. All of my plans changed. I meant to be doing this. I was supposed to be doing this. Our plans change all the time. And so we have to continually push ourselves back into it. This is a fight against the old man. It's a continual fight. We want to know the future so we can plan accordingly. Does Yahweh always tell us the future? No. Many times he does not. And for intentional reasons, for our faith buildup, for us to be able to go and do the things we need to do. It comes down to simple maintenance when we're looking at this. Okay? If things are left to be disordered, they will become disordered. The same thing. Second law of thermodynamics. If we leave it alone, it's going to deteriorate. If we don't, if you speak a foreign language and you stop speaking that foreign language after 6 months, a year, 2 years, you start losing it. You start losing it because it's not being exercised. This is the same thing for us with the power that's been given to us. If we are not exercising it, it goes dormant. We can bring it back. But to be exercising it so that it is energy being released. Okay? It's infinite energy that's available to us, which is different from the normal laws of physics. That power has to come. It's a transfer. There's no energy. It's just a transfer of energy. When you look at a believer and you look at Christ, it is a transfer of energy from Christ that is endless, absolutely endless, as we partake and we say, I'm going to go do it. Watch me work. Okay? And people are like, oh, go for it, man. It's all you. Do it. Okay? So the maintenance, it's part of what we have to do to continually curb ourselves to the Word, to what the principles are, and what we're supposed to be doing. To be doing those good works, and to be ready to be doing those good works. So the tending that is needed in every relationship is another one. Because as I do this, I'm doing this as a full-fledged, and I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but a full-fledged maintenance for the whole being of a person that is a body of Christ and tending to the body of Christ, be it through marriage, through brothers, through sisters, through our relationship with Christ. Okay, it's a tending that we have to do this. If I have a person that is a believer that I'm mentoring and I just kind of let off, things may deteriorate with that relationship. Now, we may be able to rekindle it and re-spark it right back up, but those types of things can break down. The flow of energy into good works versus entropy. So again, this is where we're focusing the energy into the good works. A good quote that I like there from Vince Lombardi. If you'll not settle for anything less than your best, you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish in your lives. Okay, and that's where Christ is calling us and telling us, I've given you the power, I've given you the authority. You can do everything that I have done and more. Okay? Are we doing the more? And guess what? If people are sitting there going, well, you know, and I'm guilty of this. I'm waiting. Yahweh, tell me and I'll go do this. Tell me I'll do this. And he's like going, tell me you're ready to go do it. Tell me you're going to go do this today. Yahweh, send me today. Put somebody right in my path today. I'll go do it. Okay, here you go. Oh, pow. You got it. Okay? But when we're standing there, while we're waiting on Yahweh, and Yahweh's like going, yeah, I told you that you have this. Why are you waiting on me? I'm waiting on you. Okay, I've given you the promises. Go do it. Okay, let's start off here in Titus 3. And I'm going to try to hustle through this if I can, because I do have a bunch of scriptures here, so I don't want to go too long. 2:22. Thank you, thank you. Oh, I have extras. Holly, would you pass those? Anybody need one? You guys want to share one? Okay. I have extra Rotherham, so I do encourage you to look through it. It does work if you want one, you can. Okay, here we go. Titus 3.
First Titus.
That's what people always say when they're trying to find it. They go, Timothy Titus. And I'm like, what you calling? All right, here we go. Titus 3:1. Be putting them in mind unto rulerships, unto authorities, to be in submission, to be yielding to rule for every good work, to be prepared. Okay, that's it. For every good work, to be prepared. This is where we exert the energy up to this point. Being ready, as a soldier is ready once he's passed all the tests. And now he goes into war. They don't go into war, and we learn this the hard way. Okay, we can do everything, though, that Christ has done. So we can learn from what is in the book to say, This is able to be done. And I have faith to do it. So guess what? I'm going to stand out on that ledge and I'm going to go do it. Jump down now, if you will, down to verse 7 and 8. And we'll continue. Okay? In 1 Titus chapter 3, verse 7, in order that having been declared righteous by His favor, we should be made inheritors according to the hope of life age abiding, faithful the same. And concerning these things, I am minded that thou be strongly affirming, in order that they who have believed Yahweh may be careful to be forward in noble works. Now, if you're reading other editions, you're going to see different words in the last part of verse 8. And we're going to break those down. And let's do that. Actually, hold your finger here because we're going to come back to that here in just 1 minute. Because this is an extension to that. If you go down to verse 14 now of the same chapter, moreover, let our own learn to be forward in honorable works for the necessary uses that they may not be unfruitful. Okay, what did Christ say happens to the vines that are unfruitful? You prune them. You prune them to make room for the other ones that are fruitful. So that's the way it is with us. You know, Christ is saying, hey, look, I'm ready for you to be fruitful. You got everything you need. Fertile soil, everything. Are you going to be fruitful? No. Well, then I'll put somebody else who is going to be. Now, you come back to me when you're ready. Okay? But in the meantime, somebody else is going to get that. And they're going to be blessed by doing those things. All right. Let's take a look at this. So keep here what we're looking at in 8. And we're looking at a couple different words. And I've deleted some of the words here. This is the Strong's here that I'm looking at. So it's going to be the New King James with the Strong's. And the two words that we're looking at here are the careful and maintain, which are careful and forward. So just one word change there. These are the two. The careful is 5-4-3-1. To be careful, to think, to be careful. This is the where I really like on this. To be thoughtful or anxious. Anxious for something good. Anxious for, you know, when Christ tells us be anxious for nothing, be anxious for the good things. For the good things, to be thoughtful of the good things. Okay, the maintain is this word. In the our version, it says forward. Okay, it's proistome, I guess is how you would say that. Okay, it's to rule, maintain, to set or place before, to set over, to be over, superintend, all these things here for it. And what you see is this word here, this proistome, is the variation of two words. And this is where those two are. Pro, meaning before, and the other one, histomy, is to stand, set, establish, to stand by, to stand, or to stand over, to stand above, stand in front. Okay, so when we're being told this here to be ready, it's careful to be standing in front of the noble works, ready for those. This is the absolute call that you are on the sideline, helmet on, I'm in the game, ready to go. I don't even need the coach to tell me, I see it, that's the play for me, I'm gone, I'm out. And that's exactly what it's referring to here in that scripture. Okay. So when people look at paradise, and when we ourselves look at that, we think to ourselves, okay, when I'm ready to retire, I'm just going to put it all to rest. And it always used to amaze me how I would have friends in the military who would retire. And Jason, you probably saw some people do the same thing. People would retire at 40, 41, 42, 43 years old, and they would literally retire. And I tell you, I can't count how many of those people lasted 5, maybe 4, 3 years, and they died. Because they were doing nothing. Because they stopped. They went into retirement mode. And I'm like going, boy, what a waste of retirement. You know, you should just have stayed in the military. And I never really put the thoughts of it together, but we are meant to work. We are meant to work. We are meant to labor. When Yahweh created the first Adam, what did He do with him? He put him in the garden. And guess what? To tend the garden. To tend to the garden. Work is going to be there in paradise for us as well. And so when we look at it, when did Yahweh and Christ retire? They haven't. They haven't, and they're not going to. Flip over to John. John 5:17, and if somebody would read that for me.
I will.
Page 97.
Yeah, it starts off on the very, very bottom, the last sentence, I think on 96, and then it flips over there. Now this is the preface to this is this is Christ at the Bethsaida, whatever that is. Yeah, thank you. Where they're watching him and monitoring him, and he heals someone, and they're looking for fault in him. Okay, so this is his response to them. Go ahead.
But he, answering them, "My Father, until even now, is working, and I am working."
That's exactly it. And even if you look at the footnotes there in A, okay, where it says, "I'm working, my Father, until even now," where Sabbath begins so long ago, okay, that is still building, still making. Christ went up to make a house, to the mansions. Okay. Yes, he's working. He's absolutely working. He's seated on the right hand. He is still busy. Trust me, he's still busy in our lives. He's very busy on my life. I know that because he's constantly, "Hey, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Come on, be doing this." What? No, don't be doing that. Okay. So I know that it is. So let's go to Ephesians now, and I'm going to jump through some of these scriptures. Ephesians 2, verse 10. And if somebody else will read that for me, please.
197. I'll read it.
"His, in fact, we are, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon a footing of good works, which Yahweh prepared beforehand, that therein we might walk."
That's it. And so when we see it, it's works, 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 that we are to do the good works. We are to be prepared. We are to stand out, to do these things, to be standing above, standing in front, ready to go. Next one, Psalms. And I'm going to jump through some of these. We won't look up because I've got a few of them. So we kind of jumped through these. But Psalms 139, 13, and 14. And this is just a kind of an illustration to show all the references. And as you go through and mark these are great references for the busyness that we need to be in. Even if you do retire from work, you're still working. You're still doing the things.
601.
Okay, and so 601, 139, 13, and 14. Thank you. "For thou didst possess thyself in my reins. Thou didst weave me together in thy womb of my mother. I thank thee in that fearfully was my being distinguished. Wonderful are thy works, and mine own soul," or nephesh, "is observing them intently." And so, again, the works. Yahweh's got lots of works for us to do. As we do these things, we will get even more put upon us to be able to do and be able to be blessed. And every single one of these that we do, we are building an inheritance. So we're building an inheritance for ourselves in paradise. The maintenance portion of this that I'm going through, that we have to kick off the rust. We have to force ourselves into doing the thing. So it's not always easy to confront somebody who's a non-believer, confront somebody who is a believer, but they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing. And the maintenance is to, okay, I guess I can do this. No, I don't want to do that. And somebody else will get it. Yeah, well, maybe somebody won't. Or maybe it'll be a long time before that happens. I think about that with our relationships. So home maintenance, as I was going through this, it made me laugh because there were these houses that were maintenance-free houses. And I just started laughing. And I'm like going, yeah, good luck with that. There's no such thing as a maintenance-free house. And you know, ask any mother, does the laundry ever get done? It's perpetual. It's perpetual. So is the dishes. You can clean the kitchen, the next meal, it's all trashed again. Okay, and so it's a continual thing. The work, the work, the work, the work, the work. And so if the work becomes, now you're like, oh golly, I can't stand this. I just want to get out. It's an attitude as well. We're going to go over that in a minute. Relationship maintenance is another one where you have to build them. For a husband and wife, you have to work on these things. You have to set apart time. You have to make things available with the body of Christ to be able to be serving them. That they may be also serving you. You go to be served them, and the next thing you know, somebody's sharing something with you. You're like going, oh, I'm so glad I came today. I came to serve, and guess what? I got served. You know, and so this is where we need to do that. The relationship maintenance is very, very important. To take care of those people, to take care of the body of Christ, and especially within our families, the wives, the husbands, the sons and daughters, to be able to do that, to go through and tend to those things. Physical maintenance, I don't really need to say anything about that. It's very important. I'm sitting here all fat, dumb, and happy. But physical maintenance is required as well because your metabolism normally does not speed up over time. Okay? Your hair does grow a little better, though, I will say that. Faith and relationship maintenance with Yahweh and Christ, and this is the most important. And this is the one that you never, ever retire from, is to be building that. If you go, and I did, there were times where I would go a week when I was in the service, I'd go a week and realize, when was the last time I prayed? I can't believe that. Are you kidding me? And then as you go back into it, you realize all these things you missed, that relationship that I missed with Christ and with Yahweh. And he may have been saying, golly, if you had your eyes open, if you had your ears open, I would have put you in place with this person. And you didn't, because you were all consumed with your own little world. And I'm like, well, that's where we have to do that, to build those things up, to force ourselves to come before and check in. And here's my thing. Go through and do the praising. The speaking in tongues. And when I do, I think to myself when I'm speaking in tongues, I'll go through and do it for the people that I need to speak in tongues for. And then I do it just for Yahweh. I'm just going to praise you. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm praising you. This is my time to pour out to you right now. And that is important. That's important. And that builds. That builds your relationship up with Christ when we do. Christ paid a heavy price for us. When we do what he's called us to do, it made that price worth it. So, anyway, let's go on. Proverbs 13. Flip over to the right. Proverbs 13, 4.
6:18.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes. Done your work quick.
I've got my pages marked, and you get to them faster than I do. Okay, 13:4, and I'm going to go ahead and read these. The sluggard, or the lazy, or slothful, desireth, but his napish, or appetite, is what it says under here, hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be rich, enriched, or be made fat, be made full. Okay? And so it's exactly backwards. You think to yourself, and so how many people, you can look at people that fall into that category, and you're like going, oh boy, the people who want to just sit back and do nothing, but they want everything handed to them, versus the person who goes out to do everything. Next one, you guys, I'm just going to kind of go through these, because there's a few of them in here, and I don't want to go too long. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. Excuse me. And I'm going to jump over to it just because I'm going to read it from here. Ephesians 6, 5 through 8. And if somebody else, well, I'll read this because I'm going to have you guys look it up. 6, verse 5 through 8, page 200.
And if you don't practice flipping through your Bible, you won't be exercising.
That's exactly it.
Yeah,
and it's another thing is, especially when you're trying to find those books, because you're like going, golly, there are only two or three pages and they're stuck in between there.
I know.
You know, so it does make a difference to be able to do that, to become familiar. Oh, golly, where's that at? I better, so I'll look over the guy next to him. Okay, I wasn't calm. And he's flipping to the right. Okay, I knew that. I knew that.
That's what I did last week.
So if your Bible's really skinny on this side and somebody else's isn't, you're like, I must not be in the right place. You just put my book up so nobody can see me. All right, 6:5 through 8. Ye servants, be obedient unto them who are after the flesh. Are your masters with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not by way of eye service as man pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of Yahweh from the soul or nephesh with good will, rendering services unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that each one whatsoever he may do that is good, the same shall he receive back from the Adonai, whether bond or free. And so this is the other thing where people are doing it and they're like, you know what? And I've been there. I don't want to go do what Christ is telling me to do. I really don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable yet with that. Okay? And so guess what? If I go out there and do, dang it, go out there and do something. Come here, I want to talk to you. Okay? It shows and it reflects. But the person who can go out there and say, I am serving my Adonai, my Christ, my head, my master. And by doing this, and doing it cheerfully, even though it's not something I want to do, I am being blessed. And I am blessing the body of Christ as well. And this is a couple of these scriptures are going to show that. So Colossians 3:22, and I'm going to kind of jump to it. I'll kind of call out though.
Sorry, Colossians what?
3:22.
Yes, and that is right after Philippians. So it's always good to know the books that are written to the body, and this is one of the smaller one, but it is written to us. Okay, Colossians 3:22-24. If somebody would read that for me, since we're there.
It's 207.
Thank you.
I keep saying page number because some of the people are following.
Yeah,
we say page number, it helps.
Yeah.
Ye servants, be obedient in all things unto them who, according to the flesh, are your masters, not with eye service as man pleasers, but with singleness of heart, revering the Adonai. Whatsoever you may be doing from the soul, be working as it as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord or Adonai, ye shall duly receive the recompense of the inheritance. Unto the Adonai Christ are ye in service. For he that acteth unrighteously shall get back what he hath unrighteously done. And there is no respect of persons.
That's it. And so does that sound like a deja vu from the one we just read?
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Two times it's written there. That, guess what? The attitude that you have to go out and do these things, to not do it so that somebody else can see you do it, but to be doing it to be pleasing our Lord, our Christ, okay, our head. So when we look at it, who will volunteer for Yahweh? Yahweh's looking for them. And so for us to get to the point where we wake up in the morning and, yes, you know what? Oh, golly, I need to repent because I did this yesterday. Boy, go through these things and check in. I am signing in for duty. We had to do that. It was funny because as a radio operator, we had to do the logs. And we hated them with a passion. Nobody ever read our logs unless something major happened. And then all it was to cover your butt. But we'd have to start off the logs, and you'd start it off. And it would say, Tim Sauter's on watch. And you had to put in all these codes and everything else. And at the very end of it, Tim Sauter's off watch. And if another radio operator came in, if I took a break, another radio operator in, I'd sign off watch, the other guy signing watch on the times, and everything was logged. Everything, all radio traffic that went out. And I think to myself, that's how we need to do before we go to bed.
Yeah.
Signing off watch. Okay, see you in the morning, Yahweh. Okay, I'm checking in for duty. Here we go. I'm ready. Send me. I'm ready to go. So, here you go. Donald Trump. It's hard to find a good picture of Donald Trump, and I'm not sure that's a good picture. But anyways, the most important thing is to love what you're doing, because that's the only way you'll ever really be good at it. And that is so important. It may not be something you want to do, but to be able to get your mind around it to say, I love it because of this reason. Okay? So for like when Donna does things for me and she makes me dinners and stuff and she has to do things for herself, I'm doing it because I love it. All right, let's go to Proverbs 17 here. Okay, Proverbs 17, we are going to be on page
622.
Thank you, Ernie. Faster than I got it marked. All right, somebody read that for me. 17:22, please.
A joyful heart worketh an excellent cheer, but a shrunken spirit grieveth up the bones.
That's that. Thank you for reading. That's wonderful. That's that. And so a joyful heart worketh an excellent cure. And so an attitude of being pleasing. I am here to please. I'm here to please you, Yahweh. I'm here to please the people around me. And it's contagious. Everybody has been around somebody like, oh, they're the clown. They want to be around them. It's contagious for somebody who's in a good mood to do it. And that helps. It makes those times where things are tough to be around those. Proverbs 15:15. If you want to flip over there back a couple pages, you can. All the days of the afflicted are sorrowful, but a cheerful heart is a continual banquet. Okay? Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians. All right, 2 Corinthians 6, 9 through 8. And if somebody will read that for me, please.
9, 6 through 8.
Yes, I got
that.
I'm dyslexic. Lexic. 9:6 through 8. Thank you.
As to the sower, he that soweth sparingly also shall reap. And he that soweth with blessings also shall reap. Each one according as he hath purposed in his heart, not sorrowful nor of necessity. For a cheerful giver Yahweh loveth. Moreover, Yahweh is able to cause every gracious gift to superabound unto you, in order that, having in everything, at every time, every kind of sufficiency of your own, ye may be superabounding unto good work.
That's it. And so it's the good works, the good works. The good works that we are to do, the good works that Yahweh will repay us with. Last one here, I believe. This is the last one. Luke 12:1. Page 74.
And this is where we have to be standing. So the pinnacle of being ready is that when it happens, when Christ comes back, mission complete, we're ready, we're here, we're done. Everything has been done. New tasks are going to come every day, but when you show up, everything's done. It's ready. We're good. This is it. Okay, so 35 through 40. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning. Okay, meaning you're standing ready. This is what this is. This is the ready approach. You are standing equipped, ready. Your loins girded and your lamps burning. And ye yourself like unto men awaiting their own Lord, once he may break up out of the marriage feast, that when he cometh and knocketh straightway, they may open unto him. Happy those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he will gird himself and make them recline, and coming near will minister unto them. And if in the second, or if in the third watch he come and find us, happy are they. In other words, these are people who are standing ready at all times, and they're at an odd time. We're not expecting this. Whoa, what are you doing here? Okay, this is what they're referring to. But of these, be taking note. Had the householder known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be digged through. Verse 40. Ye, therefore be getting ready, because in what hour you are not thinking the Son of Man cometh. Okay? So be getting ready. Be getting ready. By getting ready, we do the maintenance to keep ourselves ready. That is the preparation to get ourselves prepared to stand up and do the good works. Okay? Be ready.
Happy birthday.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and close and then have a prophecy here for the people watching.
Whose birthday?
Jason's.
Oh.
Tim. January is a pretty important month.
Yeah. Title.
Don't you agree?
Yep. Bad grandma.
The people you say that, I'm going to go calling me these names.
Oh, buddy.
All right. Yahweh, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to go through your word, to be able to build ourselves upon it. That as we hear the things, that we are able to strengthen ourselves, to build our faith, to just rededicate ourselves and our lives to you and to your Son, that we are able to walk in the ways that you would have us walk and do the things, to be diligent and not slothful, but be working ourselves and preparing ourselves that we may do the good works, that we are calling into you, checking in with you, and ready to do the service that you render to us and put in our path. That as we do these things, that we are being emboldened and just encouraged to do these from you and given the power and authority to be able to do these. And we thank you for this, that we are emboldened, that we remember who we are and stand on the principles and the ground, the solid rock that you have given to us. We thank you for that. We just speak this all through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. And my children, I speak to you that I may be able to pierce through to you, that you may hear my words and hear my voice, that I call upon you, that I call you in the daytimes and I speak to you at night. It is through the lenses that I have put upon you, the precepts that I have instilled in you, that you may try to shirk yourself away from these things, but they come back to you and they call back to you, and that is me calling upon you to submit yourself and subject yourself to the things that I have put in order, that as you do these things, that I will lift you up, that I will create within you a newness, a new creation that will embolden you, that will empower you, and give you the resources and the strength that you need, that you will be able to speak, that you will be able to do the things that my Son did, and be able to speak healing upon your family members, the people who are standing and waiting, who are in need of these things across this earth. So I call upon you to grab hold of these reins, to come before me, and humble yourself before me, that as you do this, that I will pour out upon you. You call to me, you speak to me, I will be there for you. I will be your resource. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
All right.